Hey, what's going on? Nick Unsworth here from lifeonfire.com, and I'm really excited because today I'm going to be sharing a story with you that that completely changed who I am as a person. It changed who I am as an entrepreneur, and I think that somehow, some way, by watching this entire video, I think what's going to happen is I think it's going to give you a little bit of a nudge. I think it's going to reframe the way that you think about giving back. I think it is going to also serve as some inspiration to maybe tying giving back into your business. You know, also, what's awesome is that we're doing a fundraiser right now where we are raising money together to build a school in Guatemala for Pencils of Promise. And so Pencils of Promise is an incredible organization that builds schools all over in developing nations. And I've personally been to Guatemala. I've gotten my hands dirty and I've experienced it. And to see the kids' faces, to see how their lives change when they have a school, it's absolutely incredible. And if you haven't checked it out already, we have an incredible video of going over my shoulder as we're in Guatemala and get to see all the action. But for today, what's crazy about this particular story and this training that I'm sharing with you here today is that this is what inspired our fundraiser with Pencils of Promise. And you know what happened is that I was working with a company and doing social media marketing, Facebook marketing and advertising, and one of my team members, a guy by the name of Nick as well, he kept traveling to Honduras. And you know, I wasn't too nosy or anything, and then all of a sudden he's like, "Unsworth, man, I'm moving to Honduras. But I think I can still work with you remotely. I'm gonna get a satellite, we're gonna beam down internet." And I was like, whoa, time out. I'm like, "Dude, like, what? You're moving to Honduras with like your wife and your two little girls that are, I forget, maybe it's like 5 and like 8 years old." And I'm thinking in my head, like, that sounds crazy. Like, the United States, we're very fortunate to live here. And I'm thinking, you're moving to Honduras? And I was like, why is that? Like, tell me about it. And so he just started to share the story and said that, you know, his friend Allison went down there and saw how awful, you know, the orphanages are and how bad the schooling is. And she was so inspired that she decided to live down in Honduras and make a difference. And, you know, she purchased a home and literally has been adopting little girls and educating them and homeschooling them and rehabilitating them. And Nick started going down there and he started experiencing it and started volunteering. And it was so powerful. And the things I'm going to share with you today are so emotional that it took a guy and he moved his entire life from the United States to Honduras and committed his children's lives to Honduras because he felt so passionate about the cause. And so what I'm going to share with you here today is what my journey was like to Honduras, you know, why building a school is absolutely incredible and the impact it can make, and how that leads into the fundraiser that we're doing now for Pencils of Promise. So so Nick, having moved there, I said to him, I said, "Man, I was like, you know me, I'm like, I'm always giving back or doing fundraisers." And I was like, "I need to experience this. I want to see what you're describing. I want to, you know, see what's going on. I've never been to that area of the world and I would love to check it out and I'd love to help." And so he said, "All right, man, we'll set it up." So it was Easter and of 2013. And instead of doing Easter with my family, my niece and nephew, I went by myself to Honduras and met up with Nick out there. And so I packed a bag and I figure I'm going to see kids, right? So I've got my bag and then I've got another full suitcase just with candy. And I figure, you know what I mean? If I show up with a big thing of candy, I mean, who doesn't love candy, especially for little kids? So I roll up with chocolate Easter bunnies and eggs and all kinds of cool stuff. And I get there and, you know, the airport was obviously small and, you know, run down and things like that. And I had never been to that area of the world. And I knew that it was a rough, where we're going was a little bit rougher. I know that there's a lot of corruption out there. And so, you know, they pick us up. We've got a driver and a van. And we get to their home. And the way that they do it with their nonprofit is called Eternal Family Project. And the way they look at it is it's four little girls. And they literally adopt little girls that are orphaned from the orphanage. And they adopt them. And they just nurture them with love, and they do homeschooling. So each home is a school for them as well. And they'll have, you know, 15 to 20 little girls per location. And so I get there, and it was a very interesting situation. I didn't know what I was walking into. And I get there, and what I'm walking into is just an environment of little kids that had energy and had this vibrant, you know, just look to them like I've never seen, like the sparkle in the eye, you know, and just the smiles, and just like they were just absolutely incredible. And so I get there and they're playing, they're having fun, and you know, when we eat meals, they're all lined up at this table and saying grace before they eat, and just so well mannered and having so much fun and so full of life. And I was like looking at Nick, and I was like they seem so happy. Like I haven't seen a family like this in the States. I mean, there's so much love and they seem so happy. He's like, oh, we wait till you see where they came from. And I was like, I started having a hard time seeing that they could have come from such a rough, you know, situation, because they were so happy, so amazing. And so we did some cool stuff. You know, we had an Easter egg hunt where I had fun with them and we were reading together. I'm going to show a quick clip of just them kind of goofing around. They started screaming. They're like, Nicholas, Nicholas, there's a rat under the bed. And I was like, really? And I'm like freaked out at first. I'm like, there is? And I'm like, uh-oh. And so they're all like screaming, and I go running in there, and you're going to see what happens. You're going to see the monster under the bed. So let's check this out.
Wait, so you're saying there's a rat in here?
Yeah!
Where?
Under the bed!
Under the bed? I can hear it.
Yes.
I can't see it, though. Where is it? Oh my god, that's the biggest rat I've ever seen in my entire life. Oh my goodness, that's the biggest rat I've ever seen.
Alright, so these little kids were so much fun. I mean, they were just almost like picking on me, just goofing off about, you know, the little monster under the bed. And they're just so much fun. I mean, they you know, put on this little dance party, and I never grew up around like little girls, and they're like all dressed up as fairies and things, and they're all dancing, and it was so cool. And you know, it's something where there's no men that stay there. It's women only. And I, you know, all the guys, like Nick has his own place with his family, and I stayed at this brewery. I actually have a photo of it. It was just this really rundown brewery that was a hotel that had amazing beer. But anyway, so that was the first experience in Honduras, and it was like filled with love, and they were so welcoming, and it was just incredible. And then the next day, and the dichotomy between the 2 days was just crazy. And so the next day, Nick's like, now you're going to see where we adopted them from, and you're going to see the orphanage, and you're going to see the difference between where they came from and how much we've changed their lives through love, through family, and through education. So we take off in the van, we drive into the depths of Honduras, and we pull up. And I've got some pictures so you can take a look, but we pull up, and what you see is just this huge 25-foot concrete walls and barbed wire at the top. You've got guard towers. You've got guys at the front with guns. And I'm thinking, dude, are we in the wrong spot, man? Are we like pulling up to a prison? And no, this is the orphanage. And I was like, so what's up with the big retaining walls and the barbed wire? And you know, I was like, is that to keep them safe so that people don't come in? And he's like, no, that's to keep the kids in. That's to keep them from sneaking out of the orphanage because it's so bad. And I was like, man, well, that's crazy. So we pull up and we walk in. And we see some of the older kids that, you know, as they age, and, you know, if you're living in this environment for quite a few years, it's like, it's almost like, think of, like, what would it be like living in a jail for a few years? It's like, some of the older kids are, like, outside, like, tougher, kind of, like, in the yard, you know, not like a gang, but, I mean, it was not a cool, friendly environment. And then, you know, you go inside, and he brought me to this one particular room that has, that's where the babies are, and that's where the little kids are, and up to about 4 years old. And what's crazy is that in that room, even as a volunteer, no one can pull them out of that room. And even the people that work there, I think that they try, but they're just maybe uneducated or what have you, but the care is just awful. And those little kids literally never get to see sunlight. They don't get to go outside, they don't get to play. They're in that room until they hit four years old, and then they get to go outside. Excuse me. So what's crazy is that we go up to that room, and I think I need a little All right, need to grab a little water right there. So check this out. So in this prison-like, you know, structure, this orphanage, you know, we've got that one room where the little kids are. You've got cribs just lined up. They're everywhere. And on an adjacent room, there's, you know, mentally challenged kids that are tied to beds and screaming. I mean, it was just, you know, they're in there. And then you've got little kids and babies. And what's wild is that until they hit age 4, they never get to leave that environment. They literally don't get to see sunlight, not with the volunteer, not with the people that work there. They're just in there. And you can imagine they're not getting great care, so they're going to the bathroom in their cribs and these things. And so long story short, we're in there, and we, you know, we want to show them a little love. We're playing with little kids. There's one little boy that that I took out of the crib, and I think he was, I don't know, maybe one or so, little guy. And you know, he just kept latching on to me. And I was trying to put him down so we could, like, play or do things, but he just kept latching on. So I ended up carrying him, and I'm, like, trying to, like, interact with some other kids. And every time I went to put him down, he would just kick his legs up. And you imagine, like, you're going to put a child down, and he takes his legs and just swings him all the way up. And he arches his belly and his butt all the way up. So, like, if I was going to put him down, I'd have to, like, put him down on his back. And I was just, and that's how bad he did not want to leave. Like, he was just, like, freaking out. Like, I was his chance. I was his chance to get out of that room. And so after we wrapped everything up, we had to leave. And I was, like, looking at this little guy. And I was like, all right, bud, like, I got to go. And I literally had to physically put him down basically on his back and on his head. And I just felt so bad. And I was like, sorry, bud, you know. And I put him down. And then if you can think of a time where you've ever left your home or someone's home that has pets, and you know when you're leaving and you're like, you know, shutting the door and you're trying to get out and you're trying to, like, you know, push yourself out. So you're like out and you're like, oh, trying to keep them, keep the dog's nose in and the limbs in, you know, their feet and stuff. And I was doing that with this big door, except I was pushing in little hands. And, like, little feet and little faces, and I was pushing them in. I didn't want to shut, you know, their fingers in the door or anything. And I shut it and just stopped, and my buddy Nick just points in this little box, you know, one of those little windows on the door, and he just points, and he says, look at that. And I stood there, and it's like time just stopped, and I just looked at the kid, the little boy that I put down, who was just wailing, and all the other little kids that were screaming and crying because we were their hope and it was freaking gone. And they knew that they were stuck in there longer. And there's, you know, we were their hope for a second and they lit up and they still had that joy and they still had that human spirit in them. And we left and then everything, like, broke loose, you know, and they were just bawling and wailing. And I stood there and I was just thinking, like, this is so gut-wrenching and so awful to see how awful this environment is, that I just, it was at that moment that I was like, I'm going to do whatever I can to help. I mean, you can't see something like that and then have it not impact you or change you in some way, you know, or and make you realize how lucky you are. So we leave there, come back, and then Nick starts sharing stories about, you know, and then we come back to the house and I see these kids just so full of life and so happy and they're playing and everything's great again. And I'm just like, this is so crazy. I'm like, so they came from where we were, from that room? That's where they came from? And he said, yeah. He's like, you know, Sophie, she was, I think it was 6 years old and 12 pounds, and showed me a picture of a little girl that was like the best dance performer, and it was like a skeleton with a thin layer of skin over it. I mean, it was disgusting. And she's so cute and vibrant and talented and special. You know, when they found one little girl, she was army crawling because her legs didn't work. And dirty and, you know, like army crawling in that same room that I was in. And now she reads books faster than I do. She's like super smart. She's got, you know, a wheelchair and she's totally hooked up and she's super, super smart. You know, and they shared the stories about all these little girls. And I got to see where they came from, and I got to see the difference when they're in a home, they have love, they have education, and they are, and what's so crazy is as I talk to them, what are your dreams? What do you want to be when you grow up? And they're like, I want to be like Allison. I want to be a doctor or do something cool where they can make money, and then they want to build a house and keep it going. and they want to adopt other little girls from where they came from. And think about how just amazing that is and how much good. So it was that situation that inspired me to donate. You know, I made a big donation, you know, to buy land and so that they could build another home school. And that was something I was so happy to do. And I think that no matter what you do for work, you can give away your time, you can give away your money, or you can give away both. And I think that when we give back, it changes so many aspects of our lives. When you give back, it can change your business because your business becomes more than just a business about profits. And I think that things are changing in this day and age. I think that when you build a business that has a purpose that's greater than just making money, when you build a business that makes money, but it donates to great causes along the way, that becomes a for-purpose business, as Adam Braun calls it. A for-purpose business is unstoppable, because when you wake up and you are inspired to know that your company is giving back to build a school, or you end up with some big challenge in front of you that you think is just monumental, instead of being like worrying about the challenge, you can actually think about like the experience you had in Guatemala, or the experience or the impact your company is making, or the school that you're building, and it allows you to just fight through that challenge even faster. And so at the end of the day, you know, the benefits of giving back is, you know, having a for-purpose business will change your culture. It will change the people that work with you or for you. It will change how you show up as an entrepreneur. It's going to make you want to be better and want to help more people. It's going to be good for business, because at the end of the day, you're not just a business out for profits. You're trying to do something good, and you know what? People care about that. There's a reason why Tom's Shoes is incredible and they grew so fast, because you buy a pair of shoes goes in a little kid's set of feet somewhere in a developing country. That stuff that's amazing. And I think that when you look at Generation Y and the millennials, this is what they crave. You know, society, we are shifting as a culture, and it's becoming cool to give back, which is a beautiful thing. And so at the end of the day, you know, there's a million reasons to give back. I think one of the biggest is for you personally, or even selfishly, that by giving back, I feel that it gives significance to your life. It creates fulfillment. It creates meaning. And there's a couple pieces to that. It can feel really good knowing that you built a school and you can see that school and see the lives that have changed. That's a selfish reason to give back, because you feel good, or I feel good to do it. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. The fact that I feel good by buying a woman's groceries behind me in the grocery store, I do that for her. I do that to be nice here and there when I'm at the grocery store. You definitely want to be behind me if you go shopping. But that's also, I love that feeling. And I love doing that. You know, I love the fact that, you know, I contributed to build a home school in Honduras. That situation then led me to where we are now. If you watch the interview I did with Lewis House, you see that, you literally see my eyes light up in that video where I got inspired with Pencils of Promise and to build a school in Guatemala. You know, and their organization is scalable and all these good things. And it feels good to do that, and it gives significance and meaning to your life, because, you know, at the end of our lives, this is dismal to think about, but at the end of our lives, we're all going to be facing a moment where we're thinking, what have we done with our lives? What's the legacy that we built? And is it just working and working and just living every, you know, just going through the motions? Or does your life have a greater meaning and purpose to it because you gave back along the way? You know, that could be volunteering, it could be donating, fundraising, whatever that may be. So I want to encourage you to weave in giving back into your business, because it will change your business, it will change you, and everything changes that way. So another piece to giving back is that when you give back, it totally changes your beliefs around money. And so what's really interesting is that there's a real phenomenon of having certain limiting beliefs as it revolves around money. And so, you know, I used to think that making money was hard. I used to think that I was like, money kind of owned me, you know? And one of the fastest ways to break through that belief is to literally take money. And instead of being controlled by it, like, oh God, I need to make more, I have bills, or stressing, or worrying about it, you can take money and you can completely become the master of money. So how do you become the master of money? It's different than just making more of it. You become the master of money when you just have the confidence and you say, you know what, even though I only have 100 bucks left in my bank account, I'm going to give 10. I'm going to give 10 to this person that needs it more than I do. And what happens is you're showing yourself and your subconscious that you have the ability just to make more. And so by giving back, it's not just all the other reasons I mentioned. It's actually showing money that you are the master of it. You are not its slave. And so by giving back and taking your money and donating it to people, what's crazy is that it's actually going to open up the floodgates to make more. And if you ever heard, like, the more that you give, the more that you get, it's completely true. Whether you believe in spirituality or in God, about the more that you give, the more it's going to come back. That's one piece. Or it's just the actual law of attraction and the law of reciprocity, that when you put that out there and you give and you teach and you tell the universe, your subconscious, and those around you, that you can just keep creating. Like, I'm going to give $100 there. I'm going to buy the woman's groceries behind me. Shoot, we're going to build a school in Guatemala. It's not that I'm just full of cash over here, but it's like I'm giving as much as I can at every point in my life. When I was 50 grand in debt, I gave my last 10 bucks, you know, when I had to. You know, and now it's like, it's proportional. So now it's like, all right, let's fundraise and build a school. But the more that you give, the more it's ultimately going to come back to you. So those are just a few of the reasons where the power of giving back can be completely instrumental in your business. It can change your happiness, your fulfillment. It can change how those around you see you. It can change your culture of your business, and it can help you master money and feel good about helping other people. So choose a cause that's important to you. Also, just totally would love your support. The story about Honduras set us up for Pencils of Promise, because in Honduras, that organization, Eternal Family Project, love them, and there's a scalability that they can only grow so fast. It's a smaller Christian organization. We've helped them. They're kind of almost, I shouldn't say they're at capacity, they always need help. But Pencils of Promise, that I got inspired by, is an organization that has completely dialed in the fundraising model. You know, when you donate to Pencils of Promise, 100% of those proceeds goes to building a school. It's absolutely incredible. They've got everything dialed in, everything figured out, and the organization is incredible. And so we decided that we're going to partner up with Pencils of Promise, do a fundraiser, and right now we'd love your support to donate directly to Pencils of Promise. You can go to lifeonfirefundraiser.com and you can make a straight donation to Pencils of Promise. The other thing that's really cool is we figured, how do we make this just awesome for people? Because sometimes it's like, well, you know, Pencils of Promise is not my cause, or, you know, I don't have the money, or all these things kind of pop up, these objections pop up, right? But we looked at it and said, you know what? What if we created this thing that had so much value, people would be crazy not to buy it for $97, and then those proceeds goes to Pencils of Promise. So what we did was we asked amazing entrepreneurs. We've got Mike Koenigs, Brian Tracy, John Lee Dumas, Glenn Ledwell, myself. We all kicked in courses, Michael Burnoff. And we have over $6,000 of courses and coaching and training that you get for $97. And what's crazy is that that's not a marketing value. That's what we sell these courses for. And so that for $97, you get all of these courses that can help you set your business and life on fire. And the proceeds goes to building a school in Guatemala. And we're going to, you know, if we fast forward in 6 months, we're going to be able to literally point at a school and say, we all did this together. So businessonfirebundle.com, $97, you get courses and education and content that can change your business and your life, and we build a school together. So let's lock arms and let's do this thing. I encourage you to go to Business on Fire Bundle right now, grab it, and let's absolutely crush this fundraiser and build the school. So again, businessonfirebundle.com. Let's build a school together and see and change so many kids' lives. We're going to feel amazing for doing that, and we're going to totally make a huge impact together. So businessonfirebundle.com. Thank you for any support and the fundraising, and we'll catch up with you soon. Cheers.